Side Hustle Show 202, blogging for recurring revenue.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. I hope you're hungry because it's all about food today. Specifically, we're talking about how my friend Erin Chase built and monetized her super popular food blog, $5dinners.com. She started out, as most of us do, monetizing with ads and affiliate links, but transitioned to selling digital products directly to her readers, first as one-off purchases and then as a monthly subscription. One of those subscription services now has over 3,000 members, which, according to my back-of-the-envelope math, is a $15,000 a month revenue stream, and that's just one of the ways Erin's business makes money. So stick around to hear how she got it all done, all while raising 4 boys, and how you can apply some of her learnings and tactics to your own biz. Notes, links, and a free PDF highlight reel with all of Erin's top tips from this episode are at sidehustlenation.com/Erin. E-R-I-N. Before we dive in, let me take a moment to thank today's sponsor, brand new sponsor to the show, HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, healthy, and convenient. They send you the food, the ingredients, you cook it up following their step-by-step recipes. It's awesome. Visit HelloFresh.com and use promo code SIDEHUSTLE, all one word, to get $35 off your first delivery. That's free food. I'm going to be back to tell you a little bit more about HelloFresh, plus my top takeaways from the chat with Erin after the interview. Ready? Let's do it.
I was looking to cut our grocery budget and needed to do that and ended up cutting it 50%, cut it in half. It's totally possible to do. At the time, we had 2 kids, young kids. So I wasn't spending a ton, but I was able to cut it in half. And I just was so excited about it. And I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Like, and I was like, okay, so I started putting it on my family blog. And my sister was like, I could care less what you're buying at the grocery store and what you're eating. She just flat out told me that on the phone. And we lived, you know, many, many miles away from each other. So that's how, kind of how we kept up with, or she kept up with the boys. And so I started $5 dinners. And it just took off right away. It was right as the recession was beginning. I just shared what we were having for dinner with a price breakdown, what we were buying, where the coupons were, how to make a meal plan, just a lot of education and encouragement and inspiration about what I was doing. And it just has been so helpful to so many people. And, you know, very shocking to me that it just took off the way that it did.
Yeah, very compelling idea, because it's almost like too good to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But like that element of the hook and great timing with the recession that was going on. But you could say, okay, it just took off. I'm guessing there was something you did proactively to get eyeballs to it, to attract those first visitors.
Sure. So I did back then. I don't see them. I see them here and there now. They're not nearly as popular as they were. But the link up parties were really effective way to get the word out about $5 dinners. And, you know, that I always say that's the first thing traffic wise.
What's a link up party?
Okay. So a link up party is where some blogger, blog, website, whatever, hosts a link up. So you go and add your related content to their like host page. And nowadays they're real cool looking. Before it would just be like straight links. Now there's like thumbnails and it looks almost like a index, recipe index if it's a food blog. And so people would go, oh, I want to go see what she's making this week. So I participated in one, and Laura actually still does this one, Meal Plan Monday. I would just link up what we were having for dinner that week, plus some tips and ideas and things I had learned, or, you know, this new feature at the grocery store or deal or whatever. And then I would just put the list of recipes we were going to make. And eventually it kind of transitioned to backlinks. I quickly learned that I need to share the content I've already shared on the website to get people bouncing around on the site. And so that was really one way. But really the second thing that I think that, you know, I just do this naturally. I'm an extrovert, very friendly. I love people. I was connecting with other bloggers. Back then we all chatted on Twitter. Then it was Skype, and now it's Facebook groups, right? So you just, I think forming that community of like-minded folks and, hey, I have this, sharing this content. Will you share this? Can we guest post? Guest posting was another great way. But I think it was the relationships with other people, and we start sharing each other's content on social media and guest posting for each other. All of that sort of fed the, I don't want to call it traffic machine, because that sounds so bland, but it just kind of fed all of that. So the combination of the link up parties for the actual traffic, the guest posting for the actual traffic, but these relationships that I've had, I still am very close with people that I initially connected with 8 years ago. So I think that's been a real crucial part of the growth of the site as well.
So you're kind of reaching out to other people in the meal planning space, in the budgeting space, saying, hey, we got to be able to collaborate on something.
Exactly. Like, here's an idea for you. Let's swap posts. Let's share recipes. Hey, if you're sending out a couple tweets about recipes, here's a couple links for you. Just sort of the sharing, like this content marketing is so crucial for getting in front of people. And, you know, we can get more into this later, but having this free content, there's free content all over the internet, right? But that's such a part of the content marketing machine, plan, scheme, whatever you name it. Uh-huh. And that's all that I did for years is just, here's what we're having. Here's recipes. And it became a business for me when the traffic got to a certain level and the ad networks that I had put in place and the affiliate relationships and partnerships that I had, then I was able to monetize that way. But it was because of the level of traffic that we had to the site. And I really do think it goes back to what you said earlier, is just the concept is that this is too good to be true. No, this is real, and I'm going to teach you how to do it.
Okay. So give me an idea of what the traffic was like when you say it became a business on the back of this ad revenue.
We saw 1,000 visits a day within the first month, and 200, let's see, what would that be? I'm trying to think. We hit 500,000 pretty quickly a month. And then we saw between 500,000 and 1,000,000 for a long time. We had a big bump up into the 2,000,000 range for a long time, a month, 2,000,000 a month for a long time. And then with the decline, we have a pretty decent Facebook following. With the decline of Facebook traffic transfer, that our traffic has dropped back down significantly. So now we see more from Pinterest, but
the traffic from your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Traffic from Facebook page has dropped significantly.
Okay.
We still share there just for what engagement we do get within Facebook, but we get more traffic now from Pinterest.
And that's a serious amount of traffic. It's interesting. You say, look, the tactics may have changed, right? These blog link ups may not be as popular right now, but kind of the principle of networking with other people in your space is probably still remaining the same, and something I can attest to being a valuable thing to grow the blog. When was the transition to selling to these readers directly instead of kind of indirect monetization in the form of ads?
So in September of 2013, I shared a blog post with a printable PDF attached to it. No email opt-in, just here's where you download it. This is when I was doing everything wrong.
Okay.
But you learn from your mistakes, right? So I shared a meal plan. It was just some recipes and a shopping list. And previously to posting that, I had started shopping more at Costco for two reasons. We moved into a interesting grocery market, and a couple of my kids have a dairy allergy, and the rice milk at Costco pays the membership back very quickly.
Okay.
And whatever. So I started shopping there, but I was very cautious with what I would buy there, checking prices. And what I found myself doing was playing this sort of mix and match game with the bulk ingredients that they had available: canned tomatoes, canned black beans, chicken, just a set of ingredients. And so I thought I should put together a combination of recipes that use up all of the ingredients, right? So you don't have like four cans of whatever in the back of your pantry for 2 years. And do that with a budget in mind. So I put together this list, and it was called the 20 meals that you can make using ingredients from Costco for $150.
Okay.
I posted that in September of 2013. I just put it on the site. I'm not a traffic checker, and I don't check traffic every day. Like, I went about my business, and I came back literally the next Monday. I just went back to check on the post. It had been shared on Facebook 100,000 times. I did not do that.
Okay, 100,000. You're explaining this. I'm like, this sounds kind of familiar. I don't think I knew you at that point. This probably came across my feed at one point.
It probably did. So I thought, well, again, I didn't know. And I thought, well, that's crazy. Okay, cool. All these people now have this great content, right? And I didn't even think to be captured. Even at that point, I didn't think to capture emails.
You maybe got some revenue, like based on ad impressions.
Just ad revenue. Yeah, a little bit. But so then I carry on. What didn't really think about it, I thought, well, that's really cool. So we found something that people like and need.
Yeah.
It was very much my accidental, if we want to go Pat Flynn style, will it fly? It was my accidental, will it fly? But again, it comes back to producing great content, and what's working for you is probably going to work for other people. that's kind of like, that's always in the back of my head. Okay, if this works for me as a busy mom of four boys, it's probably going to work for other busy home chefs, right? So in January of that next year, so January 2014, it went viral on its own again on Facebook. We couldn't trace the origin. It was not from anything that we shared. And still free, still printable. We saw a million page views in 3 days.
Wow. Did your site like crash during this time or?
No, it didn't, because I have an amazing host, but the host is based on traffic. So I was way over the limit at this point.
Okay.
Way over. I mean, it's the 5th of January and I've way surpassed the limit of what I was allotted for that, my particular price point level. And so immediately I thought, well, I'm not going to just absorb that. I think it ended up being about $2,000 I would have had to pay in hosting.
Oh my gosh. Ouch.
Yeah. Cause it was just that much traffic. And then there was more, my traffic plateaued higher than before because of the residual from the viral. And so I decided in the middle of it being viral that I would switch it to a $2 printable. At that time, I didn't know what options were out there for e-commerce. I didn't know any of that. I knew about eJunkie. So I threw it up behind eJunkie and made that money back very quickly, what I would have had to pay in hosting costs. And so I thought, okay, this is interesting. People will pay $2 for this. It all happened so quickly. So I decided that I would release a second one, a new set of recipes, new shopping lists in a prettier format. And we released that one in February. So a couple of weeks after that one went viral and it sold very well. We released a third one that was gluten-free.
No, this is primarily just sharing similar strategy sharing on Facebook and letting
email and Facebook. Yep.
Were you doing anything specific to grow the email list up to that point? I mean, you've been blogging 5 years.
So no. Yeah, it was already pretty hefty. No, I wasn't intentionally trying to, and now I do, but I wasn't then. Again, this was all like just learning by fire, right? Like just, I got to figure this out right now.
That's how it goes. That's okay. So same stuff. You want to download, it's going to cost you $2. Or did you raise the price?
Right. It was $2 for the first one. It was $2. So then I had the idea, like, I need to make this better. That's how I'm always thinking, like, how can I make this better? Whole minimum viable product. This was literally the most minimum viable product you could get. Yeah. But how can I make this better? How can I make this helpful for people? So what I did when I released the fourth plan, it was a different type. It was all slow cooker recipes, mostly gluten-free, easy to adapt to gluten-free. But I filmed myself putting all the meals together for two reasons. One, to prove that you could do all of this in less than 2 hours. Because this is, for me as the busy mom chef, this is about equipping myself, being one step ahead, but not spending an entire day in the kitchen putting meals together in the freezer, because I don't have time for that.
Okay.
Right. So I videoed it for two reasons. One, to teach people how to do it. You can go with me through the video, and people do that all the time. I loved having you in my kitchen. It was so great. It was easy to do that. Seriously. And then the second reason was to prove. I actually filmed that plan on Hangouts Live back when it first came out. The video quality is super sketchy, but it didn't matter. It worked. It was there. And I still get comments on those videos from people who have the links to them, right? Because I include the link when you purchase it. But that then became a second level. You could just get the printable, or if you want the whole instructional video as well, it costs a little bit more.
Oh, okay. Experimenting with different price tiers.
So that became,
what was the price tier for the
$5 and $2.49. Like, we're not talking about a lot of money here, because I also have a very budget conscious audience. We kept releasing more of these meal plans, and we released over the 2 year period from when we first put that first one out and went viral to switching to a membership model. We released 12 different sets of plans and recipes.
Did you find it was the same people buying them over and over again? Or was it just the headache of treating it like a launch every time that kind of transitioned to like a recurring membership model?
Yes and no. I mean, we still launch every month. Here's how we transitioned. The main reason we transitioned wasn't the launches. I actually think it's super fun to share new sets of recipes, new reasons to get this meal plan versus ones from the past. Kind of always tweaking. I think that that's a lot of fun. We very much kind of templatized our launches. And so that made them feel easier. And I just love talking to people and telling people that this is really going to help you. So that wasn't so much it. But the feedback that we get, I've always done a lot of surveying. My net promoter score is crazy high. We've always done a lot of that. And the biggest piece of feedback that we would get is, I love half of the recipes in your recipe set, but my family's not going to eat these three or four. Okay. So that's why I didn't buy it. But I love what you're doing.
Okay.
And I loved plan number three that we bought. So we got a lot of feedback about people wanting to choose their own set of recipes.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell me about the $5 dinners thing. So how does that work and how did you sell that? Because that's a similar like meal plan membership, right?
The $5 meal plan is a weekly meal plan subscription. So we send you a set of dinner recipes with a breakfast, a lunch, a snack, a dessert sort of idea to mix in. Because we found that most people kind of already eat the same things for lunch and breakfast. So here's another idea for the weekend or whenever. We launched that as a membership model straight away. We did a small beta. We pulled together recipes and sent it to a group of a couple hundred people for a beta. And then we launched it. And we have been able to help thousands of people. The feedback that we also got on the positive side is that these are budget-friendly recipes. And we've made all of them. And most of them are, I would say 95% of them are fairly kid-friendly because I have four boys. And they're fairly adventurous eaters. We've had our picky stages and moments, but people love the recipes because they're simple. Like, I'm not teaching you some crazy cooking method. That's not what this is about. This is like simple cooking, simple ingredients, inexpensive ingredients, good food, right? Yeah. And so all that together, put it into a meal plan so that you don't have to do it, has been really fantastic.
How much do you charge for that?
That one is $5 a month. It's the $5 meal plan. It's $5 a month, cheaper if you go, you know, 6 months or annual.
Okay.
When we release the web app, we will do a price jump because the web app is SaaS customization. It's going to cost a little more.
It costs you something to develop too.
Yeah. So we will do a little bit of a price jump there, but we'll still offer the, we'll just do it for you option. And then we'll offer the, you know, you can customize option. So we'll have the two and three price product tiers has proven to be very, very effective.
People land on the blog and they say, oh, okay, there's the $5 meal plan membership model, and they convert from there. Okay, like what's that funnel look like? How are you getting people, just readers to subscribers?
So we do, for the $5 meal plan, we have a number of, I guess we could call them internal ads. We say sidebar ads don't work, but they can. So we have sidebar ads on $5 dinners. We have a number of recipes on $5 dinners that are highly trafficked from other places, mostly Pinterest search as well.
Sure.
That if they've proven to be popular recipes within our community, then we add like a, this is a $5 meal plan favorite sort of, I don't know, banner or badge that links you over to the website as well.
It's hosted on a separate site.
Mm-hmm, it's all separate. Mm-hmm. Everything has its own website.
Okay. Okay. Just, I'm always curious about like the integrity of, you know, how this is. Okay. So taking popular posts and saying, hey, this is kind of introducing people. Hey, this is part of the meal plan, or it's a favorite amongst the meal plan. Okay.
Right. And then just traffic gets pushed to all these popular posts, just mostly organically at this point for us, because we have so much content out on Pinterest. And in search, we have great SEO on $5 dinners as well. So the majority of folks come through there. We'll sneak links into, you know, our weekly newsletters and things like that. Randomly, if we're doing a promotion or a campaign, we'll sneak links into things like that. We don't do much Facebook posting about it, but we do run some Facebook ads. They convert fairly well for us. So we send them to a free trial. And it's a 14-day free trial where we send them our favorites. We actually send them three sets of meal plans over the 14 days. And then if they think it's great and they want to join, then they join. If they don't, then they stay on like a trial alumni list. So if we have new products to come out, if we have new 6-week meal plans that come out.
This is a beautiful model because it's like you do your, you know, meal plan shopping list, which you would be doing anyways, and then you'd send it out to however many thousands of $5 meal plan members there are. It's almost like a SaaS product. It's something you can create once and sell over and over again. Out of curiosity, how many members are there?
For the $5 meal plan, we currently have 3,000 active members.
Okay.
And we probably have, I'm going to guess, 45 or 50,000 people who have either tried it or were members and then didn't continue.
Okay. From the customer standpoint, it's a weekly email delivery. What software are you using for that?
So for the $5 meal plan, we use a combination of MemberMouse for the membership login sort of setup. Yeah. And then we send emails via MailChimp for that membership.
Any conversion best practices? I think the 14-day free trial is an interesting angle there and give people a taste. Anything else that you found effective on that front?
So we did a month trial. We weren't seeing great conversions, and so we decided to shorten it. And in shortening it, it just gave enough of that urgency to try this. And actually, our biggest, I don't want to say battle because that seems a little aggressive, but our biggest thing is just getting people to try the meal plan, to take the shopping list to the store and try a couple of the meals. That's actually our biggest hurdle. It's not because the service isn't great or the value isn't there. It's that people already have a routine and they already have the 8 to 10 meals that they make over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so for us, that struggle has been getting people to just take this grocery list to the store and just give it a try. And so we have set up a series of videos. It's mostly videos. There might be one email that doesn't have a video connected to it, where it's me sort of teaching you how to use it, why to use it, the how-to plus the benefits to get them to try it.
Okay. And this goes out during that trial period.
During the 14-day trial, we need you to try it. So whatever that one thing is that your customer, that you're fighting to get your customer to try your service or your consume your content in whatever way they're supposed to be, whatever that is, like work your tail off to get them to actually try it. And then from there, it's then our goal to kind of get them, once they become a member, then it's getting them to use it habitually. So we kind of have two levels of, it's almost like behavior change.
Yeah.
We drill in and look at, why are people resistant to this new thing? What can we do to make it better? How can we get them to try it? And then how can we get it to become part of their weekly routine, right? What is it about Facebook that makes us check it 26 times a day, right? Connection, like human connection. I'm connected to somebody just because I read about what they're struggling with today or what their happy news is for the day, right? Mm-hmm. But there's the different psychology for the different products. Like the meal plan is solving the problem of you don't want to write a meal plan this week, or you don't know what you should have, or you're fresh out of ideas and you're sick of eating the same 8 to 10 things. So we kind of have to speak to that and then get them to see that actually using it will help you and you'll get results both in saving money on groceries and being more organized and not having to run back to the grocery store for an ingredient that you forgot, whatever. Like, so there's several different problems and pain points, but we have to speak to all that and then help people actually like use it.
Yeah. This whole
once they do,
big science behind this, like onboarding process. And then like this retention process, like getting people, like you said, to change their habits around cooking. They've probably been ingrained for years to do it a different way.
Exactly. And so kind of upending that. And the people who are willing to let themselves be changed have great success, right? So it's just really encouraging. Is this like, it kind of goes back to, you just have to be the cheerleader and encouraging them to give it a try. And then they may or may not get hooked. That's not up to you, right? You just continue to deliver the value, the product, the great material. And if it's right for that person, it's right for them.
Are you doing anything on the I don't know if Member Mouse supports this or not, but like viral sharing where, okay, you can get a free month or something if you share it with your friend or like they become a member or something like that?
We have not done a refer a friend campaign, or we don't have an ongoing one. I don't know if Member Mouse supports that. I'm sure they do, or we can hack it. We hack a lot of things. I have thought about doing that. I actually tried it with my course, and because I'm business to consumer, it didn't work. Refer a friend, I thought, would be something that my Super Savers members would understand, but they didn't. It didn't go very well on the B2B level, the EDE, entrepreneur level. Totally makes sense, right? Like we all know what to do with affiliate link.
Yes, yes.
And I did a whole series of videos explaining how to do it using the refer a friend sort of language. And I'm pretty sure I had it positioned properly in the reading I've done about those program or those sorts of campaigns.
Yeah. Since then.
But it just didn't take with this audience. We really drill in at the affiliate other online entrepreneur level. We drill in on that. And so that's a more important piece for us than the refer a friend piece.
It's an interesting, that was one of the hacks from Tiffany, the Budgetnista. I thought was really interesting, where she was like, you can sign up for my 30-day money makeover challenge, whatever it was called, Live Richer Challenge. And it was like, step one, recruit a buddy. You know, you need an accountability partner. You need somebody to do this with you. So it's like, hey, if I got one person, I got two people. It's like, hey, that's pretty smart. Tell me about the affiliate program. So now you have affiliates for the meal plan or affiliates for the makeover product?
We have affiliates for everything. And we have a lot of affiliates who are part of each one because they use the links in the in different content that they have, existing content or new content, or they're going to launch with us, or kind of depends. Each affiliate and our relationship is different, but we have amazing affiliates. And I think the key with affiliates is hooking in with the affiliate or the partner who has the right audience.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like it doesn't, and I've experienced this myself as an affiliate for other folks, like, oh, that did not work very well. I thought that would work for my audience, but it didn't. And so that's really important for our affiliate team to identify people who would be good affiliates and then, you know, sort of, I don't want to say nurture affiliates because it doesn't sound right, but help them do custom campaigns for them. We do lots of custom campaigns for people because we want bottom line, what is marketing and selling come down to? The right product in front of the right person at the right time. So we have the right products. They're fantastic products, all the resources, the different resources that we've developed. So then the affiliate component is then finding the affiliate with the right audience. And then creating the right, you can create the right timing, you know, based on either studying the data or doing campaigns and creating scarcity and whatnot. But the affiliate, that middle piece is so key with the affiliate is finding the right audience.
Okay. But looking at these different channels to kind of keep the traffic flowing, to keep filling the top of the funnel, because like any membership model is like, it's the war of attrition. Like how long can we keep members in and can we sign more people up every month than are going to fall off? So the affiliate channel, the referral channel, the Facebook ads, even the organic traffic to these posts, the social traffic to these posts, all kind of funnels back to that. Are you still blogging, publishing meal plans like on $5dinners.com or is like all, it's all in the membership site now?
Oh gosh, no, we have to keep the content out there. Like I'm in a unique situation as, you know, this is all food related.
Yeah.
But I feel this as well because I feel like there is nothing else that I can say that I haven't yet published on the internet about whatever your content is. I know every online entrepreneur has felt that way before.
You've been at it for 8 years or something now.
Exactly. You say the same thing over and over and you just change the way that you say it, but you have to keep producing quality content that is free. You can't not. You can't not. People don't connect to you. They don't understand you. They don't see that you're going to be this inspirational encouragement in their life unless you're talking to them, speaking with them, having a conversation with them. And where you do that is on your website, in the comments, Facebook Live. Live interaction now is amazing. Social media, Instagram. I can't do Snapchat because I can't do one more thing, right? Like I've tried, but I couldn't get it. But you, that's where you go. That's where you have to have that conversation. You have to be around all the time, right? And so that is, I think for me, we've created these tools and we've created these resources and we have systems in place for all of them. But for me, it's about connecting with people and really showing them, like, I really want to help you. And this is how I'm going to do it. Seriously, that's like why I do what I do. Like that is what gets me up every single day to the office because I want to help somebody else today. Yeah. Bottom line. I don't care how I'm feeling. I don't care what's going on in the world. I want to help somebody today. I'm going to do that. Bottom line. And so just having these very practical, very useful tools that get people results, that's what works. And so then for me, it's about connecting both with people who might be interested in what we have to offer and connecting with members.
Let me ask a question I ask a lot of people who have paid content and membership content is, you know, how do you decide what to put out for free to the public for the content marketing arm to keep that machine spinning, like you said? And how do you decide what's premium? How do you decide what people have to pay for?
For me, what I hear over and over again, and what's really proven true for me is you teach people what to do at the, I guess, free level. Let's call it that. You teach people what to do at the free level. And when you get behind the paid wall, whether it's membership course, monthly membership, whatever, you show people how to do it at the very granular level. So here's what you need to do. Let's say you're a coach, right? Life coach, health coach, fitness coach, whatever. Okay. You tell people what they're supposed to do. You inspire them. You encourage them on your Instagram or any of that. And then when you're coaching them, you learn about that person and you tell them exactly what they're supposed to do. You tell them how they're going to lose the 5 pounds, how they're going to repair this relationship, how they're going to make more money in their business, right? Like, it's the what to do versus the how to do.
Gotcha. Teach people what to do versus how to do. I like that. That's a good analogy for sure. So this is Aaron Chase from $5dinners.com. Thank you for joining me, sharing some of the background. I really love kind of the evolution of this, like the minimum viable product and like kind of by accident. Like I was 5 years deep into this journey and I found something that really, really hit. Like, of course, stuff had been, you know, the site had been a success prior to that. But here's something that went crazy viral. And then I found out that people would pay for it. And then I found that people would continue to keep paying for it. And it was kind of moving up every step of the way. So it's kind of exciting to see the business in evolution, excited to see what comes next with the software and the app and all this fun stuff. Helping people save money on food. We all got to eat. So it's a universal niche. So $5dinners.com. Aaron, let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Keep producing great content, whether it's freed or paid. And then as you go, keep producing it, keep listening to your readers and your customers and keep making the content better for them.
That's what we try and do. Aaron, thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
This edition of the Side Hustle Show is brought to you by HelloFresh, the leading meal kit delivery service for busy professionals, families on the go, and of course, side hustlers. How it works is HelloFresh sends you a box of food. You can choose from 3, 4, 5 meals a week with delicious, healthy, handcrafted recipes designed to be ready in about 30 minutes, even if you're a novice chef like me. Shipping is always free, and HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients and measures them to the exact quantities you need, saving you time and headache in the kitchen and money in the store because you don't have to buy a whole container of some ingredient you might only use once. On top of that, every recipe is reviewed by an on-staff registered dietitian to ensure it is nutritionally balanced. Brent and I have been enjoying our HelloFresh meals, and you can't beat the convenience. It saves us both the mental anguish and mental bandwidth in figuring out what's for dinner, but also in time, not having to go to the grocery store. Visit HelloFresh.com and use promo code SIDEHUSTLE, all one word, to get $35 off your first delivery. That's $35 worth of free food at HelloFresh.com with promo code SIDEHUSTLE. All right, my top takeaways from this call with Aaron. Number one, make something helpful and make something compelling. You heard her say, hey, look, it's almost too good to be true, but it is true. And that's when I think things go viral because people can't help but share. And that's kind of what I've tried to do with Side Hustle Nation, probably not to the extent that she has, but like going back to the very early episodes, hey, this guy earned enough money on Fiverr to buy a house. Well, you know what? I want to learn more about that. How did that work? You know, let's go break that down. Takeaway number two, publish. I thought it was interesting that Aaron's empire started with a family blog. When she posted the meal plans, the feedback from her readers, her family, was, sorry, we don't really care. We just want to see pictures of the kids. And what's crazy is that could have been the end of it. But she published anyway. She started a new site, $5dinners.com, and published anyways. Didn't let that feedback get her down. Takeaway number three was relationships. From the blogger relationships early on to her affiliate partnerships today, she's gone farther, faster by working with other people in her space in a cooperative way rather than viewing them as competitors. Remember to head over to SideHustleNation.com/Aaron for all the notes and links from today's episode, plus a free PDF highlight reel with all of Aaron's top blog monetization tips. Appreciate you bearing with me through the less than awesome audio quality in this episode. The short story is it's unacceptable and won't happen again. The longer story is the Skype recording software I've been using since episode one decided to stop working recently, and I've been searching for a viable alternative. Clearly, what we used for this episode is not going to be it, so apologies, and just know it's something that I'm aware of and working on fixing. That's it for me. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.